Right, good evening, good evening. We're going to begin the evening service tonight with singing. All right, so we're going to take our hymn books and turn to 127. 127, Jesus Loves Even Me. Let's go ahead and stand together as we sing. 127, Jesus Loves Even Me. I am so glad that my Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is a dearest that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Though I forget him and wander away, still he does love me wherever I stray. Back to his dear loving heart would I flee, when I remember that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. On the last, oh, if there's only one song I can sing, when in his beauty I see the dear King, this shall my song in eternity be. Oh, what a wonder that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Thank you, Father. We're going to take our songbooks at this time. We'll remain seated as we sing hymn number 95. Hymn number 95, No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus. Hymn number 95. I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. On the second, all my life was full of sin when Jesus found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe. Jesus placed his strong and loving arms around me, and he led me in the way I ought to go. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. He cared for me. On the last, every day he comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand his words of love. Still I'll never know just why he came to save me, till someday I see his blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me.
one more song before the message. That'll be hymn number 371. Let's go ahead and stand for this one as we sing 371, A Passion for Thee. Two verses, we'll sing both of them, 371.
Set my heart, O dear Father, on Thee, and Thee only. Give me a thirst for Thy presence divine. Lord, keep my focus on loving Thee only. Purge me from earth, let my heart after Thine. A passion for Thee, O Lord, set a fire in my soul. Souls one desire, a passion for Thee, O Lord, set a fire in my soul, and a thirst for my God. Hear Thou my prayer, for Thy power impart, not just to serve, but to love Thee.
Have you here tonight? We'll ask you to go ahead and find your spot. Grab a copy of the Word of God. If you brought a Bible tonight, if you didn't, grab one of the pew Bibles right there by you. And turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 tonight. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 tonight. I can't remember if I mentioned this morning McKenna had a birthday. Did I say anything about that yet? I did. Okay. All right. She did. I think it's still going on today. All right. In fact, they gave her a hard time at the restaurant today. Someone dropped a hint, and the place was singing to her. Oh, sorry, she didn't hear back there. McKenna has a birthday today. Yes, McKenna. McKenna said after the service she'll be up front here if you would like to come. No, I'm kidding. We're giving her a hard time. She's glaring at me with darts, all right? So I'm not looking over there. All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 tonight. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. Here tonight. Well, it's week of Thanksgiving. Our brother Comstock this morning mentioned in his message, he read some verses from 2 Corinthians 9 that had Thanksgiving in it. His thrust of his message was on Thanksgiving to God and showing that in generosity several different ways. And obviously, here as Americans living in America, we ought to know our American heritage. We ought to know about those that came across. Not everyone we understand, but many did for religious freedoms. And certainly, we ought to know the story of the pilgrims and what God did there. And a few years later, where they wanted to express their thankfulness to God, but also to Native Americans. It wasn't just to God, all right? It was also expressed to those that they believed that God had used to help them and to show favor and helping them survive. And so we have a privilege to celebrate here in America, to thank God. And I hope as Christians, again, as believers, our Thanksgiving, if we have the opportunity certainly to host it, our Thanksgiving should be vastly different than a lost person's Thanksgiving, all right? I mean, there's going to be common elements. There's going to be food, whether you're saved or not saved. There's going to be family, probably, whether you're saved or not saved. There could be traditions of outdoor football, tackle football, watching football. That's going to happen, both saved, unsaved. There's going to be some oddities that your family may do that nobody else does. But that's going to be normal, all right? There's going to be laughters and jokes, and you may have a crazy uncle or an odd aunt or that cousin that you're like, well, all right? That's going to be pretty common, all right? The difference is, what's going to make your Thanksgiving Christian? What makes it Christian? Oh, because you said a prayer or say grace. What's going to be making it a Christian Thanksgiving? I hope that you will put some thought into that if you never have before. I hope you won't just go along with the flow, and especially if you're able to incorporate the scriptures, some time of testimony, praising the Lord, thanking the Lord, maybe even a Bible challenge. It doesn't have to be a long thing there. Those are all be excellent. After all, you're going to have an audience probably, and there's no reason not to I mean, make the holiday what it is, all right? Share the history of it. It's going to have God in it if you share it properly, and there's no reason that you can't do that and shouldn't do that. So I want to encourage you to do the best you can there with that, make that a habit. Many of you may have done that and have done that for many years, and if so, that is a blessing. All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm going to preach tonight on a simple title, and that is a pattern of gratitude, a pattern of gratitude. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It's a verse that most of you can glance at and probably look up and quote. It's a simple verse. Many of you may know the chorus, the song. Oftentimes you can sing verses 16, 17, 18, sort of in a little bit of a chorus and some rounds right there, and that's a common one with young people and at camp. Let's just look at verse 18. All right, the Bible says, and how about you just say it or read it with me? Many of you don't even need to look at it, all right? Here we go. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I think we know that verse. Most of us certainly know the opening phrase. In everything, give thanks. And then the second part, for this, what's this? Giving of thanks. For this, the giving of thanks, the expressing gratitude, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I want to ask us a few questions, and then we're going to begin in a word of prayer. Only you answer these questions, all right? Don't worry about anybody else. Don't see if they're listening or if they're here tonight, all right? So I want to ask you a few questions, and don't answer quickly. If you answer quickly, it's oftentimes not always the right answer, all right? Are you a thankful person? Oh, that's a... Yeah, well, of course I am. Who's not? Yeah, I think so. Are you a thankful person? Are you known for gratitude? Are you known for gratitude? Are you known for gratitude? Those are the two questions. I want you to ponder those right now. Are you a thankful person? And if you were to say yes, if it was back in youth group days in the teens and we went around and they said yes, I would stay on them. I'd say, well, good. How did you arrive at yes? Give us some points. Show us how that has been shown. Or would your parents say that you, if you as a teen said you're thankful, I'd say, well, if I talked to your parents, would they say that? Different answers. Do you have some friends around you that would also agree with you? Yes, that person is very thankful. They have a pattern of gratitude. Maybe not. Or maybe the opposite would be true. You're not a thankful person. You're not known for an attitude of gratitude. You do not have a pattern of gratitude. I want to give the definition of those two words, and then we're going to have a word of prayer. I'm preaching on a pattern of gratitude. We're all sinners. If you're saved, praise God, I trust you are. We're still a sinner. No one is going to reach perfection. No one's going to get to a point where you always express gratitude the right way, the way God wants it, all the time, immediately. We're human, we're flesh. There are times we forget. There are times that I didn't do what I shouldn't have done that, or I did it wrong. That's human. I'm not asking about, do you ever fail? I'm asking, is there a pattern? There's a difference. Is there a pattern of gratitude? The word pattern is this. It means something serving as a model. A form or model used for imitation. A model or design used as a guide. If you look up the definition, you'll see these words. Something repeated, a sequence, a sample, something to be followed. Depending on what you're in. Hey, look, here's the sample drawing. Everybody in art class is going to imitate this art. Or here for those who sew or make clothes. Hey, you have a pattern that you follow in order to make that dress or that shirt. Or sometimes in sculpture, here's the pattern. I want everybody to follow it. Here's the model. In sports, your coach oftentimes or a player will run a drill or model the form and say, here's the proper shooting technique or boxing out. Now we want you to do the same thing. And then we have drills in order to model and say, got to do it the right way. And we have, I think we understand what a pattern is. It's something it's not a one time or just a hit and miss. It's a repeated type thing that's done against. Now, what's gratitude? Gratitude is a quality of being thankful, a readiness to show appreciation, a virtue of the highest excellence. It comes from a generous heart. So I'll repeat the question. Are you a thankful person? Would those you regularly associate with at church, school, neighborhood, family, the family that are going to be around you at Thanksgiving, would the group of them agree with the answer you gave, whatever you gave yourself? Yes, I'm a thankful person. And we just say, all right, everybody, so-and-so says they're a thankful person. Does everybody agree or disagree? All right. Now, it doesn't mean we can't be wrong. Not everybody may have wisdom and discernment. But do you have an attitude of gratitude, a pattern of gratitude? I want to look at that tonight and explain that just in some simple forms. Trust the Lord will use that in your heart as He's used it in mine. Let's pray. Father, I pray tonight You'd help me as we look in the Word of God. Lord, a fairly simple message, but one, Lord, that I need reminded of, one that I believe all of us need reminded of, not just at this time of year where, for believers, Lord, who know and appreciate our heritage here as a country, and even before we became a country in the colonies, and many who came to this country for religious freedom to be able to worship God freely, Lord. We know not everyone did, Lord, but we are grateful for those who did. Lord, we're thankful that America is very unique, certainly in today's world, among many countries, if not all countries of the world. I pray that we are grateful and thankful for America, our freedoms. I pray we are grateful and thankful for our health and family and friends and on, Lord. I pray we're thankful for our salvation, for the Word of God, for the spiritual truths and the ways You've worked in our lives in the past. And yet, Lord, it could be that we're not very gracious. We're not very gratitude-filled. We're not thankful. Lord, I pray tonight You'd expose our hearts. Start with me, Lord. May You, Your Spirit, draw us to the truths of the Word of God in this area of gratitude. Lord, I pray You'll speak through me now. Help me, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I think everyone here tonight that's a saved would say, yes, I know the Bible. God wants us to be thankful. In everything, give thanks. You can't get any cleaner than that. That's pretty simple. We don't have to get into the Esort or Vines or Strong's Concordance. In every area, every phase of life, give thanks. Have a thankful spirit. Have a spirit of gratitude for this, expressing thanks, is the will of God. How many people are praying about that? Lord, what's Your will for my life? Well, how about what He's already told us? We don't have to pray about that one. It is the will of God that all people, especially His children, give thanks and express thanks and gratitude on a regular basis. Here's some other verses, ones that most of you can quote. Psalm 104, enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Later in that verse, be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Colossians 1:12 begins, giving thanks unto the Father. Hebrews 13:15. Would you turn to that just a few pages to your right? Hebrews 13:15. This was one of our memory verses a year or two ago. Some of you may remember this verse by memorizing it. Maybe even could still quote it. All right? Hebrews 13:15. I would consider this a top five verse for all believers to memorize when it comes to the area of gratitude and thankfulness. All right? This would be a verse you would definitely want to memorize. An excellent verse for every believer, all ages, young and old. It's a great definition of what gratitude is, what thankfulness is. Hebrews 13:15. The Bible says, by Him, it's talking about Christ, if you look ahead at some of the verses previously, verse 12, we'll talk about Jesus. By Him, by Christ, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Well, how often should we do that? Continually. Not just a one time, not just a Thanksgiving or on occasion. We ought to offer a sacrifice of praise, something we bring to the Lord continually. Now you say, well, what is a sacrifice of praise? Well, the verse answers it. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So you look at your lips, your mouth, your speech as a tree, and the roots go down into who you are. So when you speak, that's the fruit. Now that could be good fruit. That could be bad fruit. That could be like the fruit of the Spirit. It could be rotten fruit. But our speech, as you know throughout the Scriptures, Proverbs especially, is one of the key characteristics that identify wisdom and foolishness. The mouth, your lips, your speech. James says that that's one of the key things that shows true spirituality. Pure religion before the Lord. Your speech, your mouth. From a proper well, what comes out of the well is what's in there. And so what is this? That the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So we know, we could look at many verses, Old Testament, New Testament, that absolutely show, yes, all Christians, all believers, all of God's children are to be thankful. It should be a byproduct of salvation, but yet it's commanded in Scripture. We're to express gratitude. We're to give thanks. It's to come from the heart. It's to be willing and regular. So the question is, why do you and I struggle with that? Why do I struggle with that? Sometimes, well, we're sinners. We're fleshly minded. We're prone to grumble and complain. Our flesh will look at the negative. And so how can we have an attitude of gratitude? How can we have a pattern? That's what I want to look at. I want to contrast two phrases tonight. And this is what sort of Lord pricked my heart about preaching tonight. Two phrases, contrasting phrases in the Bible. All right, so I want you to, you're going to have to go to both of these. This will not be that far away. I want you to go to Colossians 3. And Romans 1. I want you to find both of those at the same time. All right? And so you find Romans 1, find Colossians 3, because I want you to be able to look at both almost at the same time. You're going to just flip back and forth. Pretty simple to do. So you're going to go to Romans chapter 1, and that's Pauline epistle, and then you're going to go to another Pauline epistle, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. So, well, let's see. We'll wait till the pages are done rustling, all right? So Romans 1... in Colossians chapter 3. All right. When you're looking at me, I'll know you have them. All right. So when I see most of you looking this way, hopefully with a smile. All right. All right. Has everybody got most of them? All right. So you're going to just sort of boom, boom. All right. So, all right. We're going to start in Colossians 3. Everybody there? We're going to go right to Romans 1. So Colossians 3, here's a verse that would be good to memorize for all of us. Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of God rule, or the idea there is govern. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. To the which also you're called in one body, and be thankful. Okay. I would think that's right. If the peace of God is governing us, we're going to be thankful. If the peace of God is not governing us, we will be unthankful. So the clear command here is be thankful. All right. So you saw the command, be thankful. All right. So hold that spot and go right to Romans 1. All right, Romans 1. Now, most of us know Romans 1. There's a list here of sort of the downward steps down into depravity, all right, and wickedness. But notice Romans 1:21. Many of you will know the phrase we're about to look at. Romans 1:21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, here's the phrase, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. They have a three-word phrase in Romans 1 that's always just stands out if you read it. I mean, it's just boom. Sometimes you're like, what? I mean, that doesn't seem like that big of a deal. Neither were thankful. I mean, come on, we all forget. And then, of course, if you continue reading at the end of the chapter, you know where it ends. You're like, wow, it's like the downward steps if you don't turn back. And what happens is you continue to become more and more depraved and farther from God, and how you can just, wow. But did you see right toward the beginning there, verse 21 says, neither were thankful. So that is what really pricked my heart. I thought, wow, which phrase best sums me? Neither were thankful or and be thankful? Which one would best fit? If I had Velcro on here and you threw it at me, boom. Because, you know, the idea in the New Testament of blameless, You probably remember this from chapel. All right, Pastor Shetler was famous for illustrations all the years he was the campus pastor at Pensacola. And this was a famous one. I think everybody that was there remembers this. So he did a series on what it means to be blameless, you know, New Testament, about blameless. Doesn't mean you're not going to be sinless, all right? But the idea, the word has the idea of not sticking to you. Not sticking. Your testimony is such that an accusation will not stick to you. And he had up there, he had like a frying pan. And then he had that game where you slip your hand in the like Velcro circle and you throw the ball. All right, many of you may remember that. You may have it buried somewhere, all right? I probably haven't seen one in a while. But that Velcro glove. And so he said, all right, so here's the accusation. Somebody throws it at you. You're a Christian, all right? Boom! Does it stick? Or frying pan, boing, it just bounces off, all right? Now, again, people can throw accusations out there at you. You can't keep people from saying stuff, all right? And all of us are sinners. But blameless has the idea of your testimony and your character is such that your walk with God is such, like an Enoch, that it doesn't stick, all right? And so when it comes to this, if I ask you, which one of those labels best sticks with you? If we interviewed family members, siblings, aunts and uncles at Thanksgiving, fellow students, teachers that you might have at school, co-workers, bosses if you're under someone, employees if you're over them, churchmen, if we just interviewed, and we know not everybody's going to have, which one of those sticks? Thankful or neither were thankful? I don't want to be part of that group that was neither were thankful, but isn't it interesting that that's included in the Scripture through the Holy Spirit? They weren't thankful. Now we might say, well, that's not that big of a deal. Neither were thankful. Well, let's look at another one, all right? Go back to wherever you're at right now. You don't have to be there anymore. Let's go back to 1 Thessalonians 5:18, where we started, and we'll go to 2 Timothy. They're only just two or three pages apart, probably, or four or five, depending on the size of your Bible. So 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And 2 Timothy 3. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 and 2 Timothy 3. And I want you to again see the contrast in the Bible here and ask yourself which one of these right now, presently, praise God, we can grow, we can change, we can become like what God wants us to, but right now, tonight, right here as you sit at 6:38, in case you haven't looked, on a Sunday night, November 24th, which one best fits you, John? He's like, whoa, he's looking at me, all right? Which one best fits you, Debbie? Neither were thankful, or be thankful. Or what about this? What if we just were lined up and the Lord Jesus Christ came by and he put it on? Because he's the true and faithful judge. Which one would he put on? Neither were thankful, be thankful. I don't, maybe you know, maybe not, maybe you're hoping. Well, in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, we have the clear verse, okay, in everything give thanks. Well, what's the contrast? 2 Timothy 3:2. Look at 2 Timothy 3:2. We'll read verse 1 for context. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. And we're in those last days. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. What's next? One word right there. Maybe you were daydreaming. It's okay. Here it is. Go back to it. Verse 2. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. What's next? One word. Unthankful. And of course, you can keep going down the list there, and there's a lot of words that you may or may not know. And you're like, whoa! But the Holy Spirit of God says, let me give you one sign of the times in the last days of perilous times before the Lord returns. Unthankful. Wow, I mean, that's not that big a deal. Unthankful. Unthankful. And Romans 1, neither were thankful. 2 Timothy 3, unthankful. That sounds like it's a big deal. Not something just to brush aside or gloss over. Well, that's just the way I am. That's the way our family is. That's the way we show. Well, I want to be like God's family. I want to be what the Lord wants. I don't want a crutch for anything that the Lord says I ought not to have. Now, maybe some would say, well, wait a minute. You know, in the context of these two passages, that's pretty much talking about lost people. I would agree. So do you want to be identified more with lost people or saved people? You're right. Probably in the context, both groups here are primarily speaking of people who know not the Lord. So if those are associated with people who don't know the Lord, why would you and I as saved want those associated with us? We all want nothing to do with that. If those are characteristics of people who know not the Lord. Now, a lost person can be very gracious. You know that. Some of you have gracious and kind and thankful neighbors and bosses and workers, people who sometimes will put to shame those who name the name of the Lord. But if anybody ought to be gracious and gratitude and thankful and overflowing with praise, it ought to be God's people. Absolutely. Abundantly. And so here's the Bible truth we want to just pound on tonight just in one sentence. A Christian who is thankful or grateful to God, or for God, not to God and for God, regularly will also express gratitude to others and for others regularly. That might have been a mouthful. A Christian who is thankful and grateful to God and for God, meaning I'm just thankful for God and who He is, I'm also thankful for what He's done. All right, sometimes we say thanksgiving and adoration. I want to praise God for just for who He is. And by the way, that's a good test to help you as you advance in your Christian walk and mature. A lot of times when we're younger, we say, let's go around and give praises, Sunday school class. Let's go ahead and give some thank yous in youth group. Let's give some praises in ladies' Bible study. No, there's nothing wrong with that. We ought to do that. And let's do that in youth group. A lot of times when we're a little younger or young in our faith, we'll primarily give praises for things that God did. In fact, a lot of times we'll just give praises for things we're thankful for, but it may not even have God in it. Hey, I'm just thankful for food. You know, a teenage boy. Good. Who? I'm thankful for friends. Right, well, that's good. I mean, we should be. I'm thankful for America. Yeah. Thankful for football. Apple pie. You know. All right. And you can go a long list. Well, that's nothing wrong with that. And you might be. And then we say, well, let's ramp it up a notch. How are you showing God you're thankful for that? And then a teenager like, I thank God for food. Okay. I thank God for apple pie. Okay. All right, we've got to take it to the next level, all right? But you understand, we're growing. You got to work on that. But a lot of times as believers, it's not hard to say, I want to thank God he protected me from an accident. And we ought to be thankful for that. I thank God that the power came back on. Should be some amens. All right, some of you. Hey, we should be thankful for that. I'm thankful that it wasn't off. You know, I'm thankful for the men and women who worked out there. I'm thankful for, you know, whatever, a gift. Those are all good. But as we get a little bit more walking with Lord, we ought to have a lot of praise that just says, God, I'm just thankful for God. Who God is. Not, He doesn't have to do anything for me. It doesn't have to be a day that's good. Everything went my way. I just praise God for the very character of God. God is faithful. As I'm so unfaithful. God is so gracious where I'm not. He is so praise you, God, for who you are, but I also want to thank God for what He does and who He does. But a Christian who regularly and thankfully praises and thanks God and his gratitude to Him will also express gratitude regularly to others and for others. They're not really separate. One is an overflow from the other. As our praise is centered on God and who God is and what God does and how much we don't deserve it, the overflow for a believer ought to naturally then just be able to express it for all people and for God and what other people have done. And many of you will, maybe in your testimony, testimonies are all different. I can think, boy, just growing up and saved at 5 and raised in a Christian home for the most part. You know, obviously my dad's side of the family was more Lutheran. They weren't practicing really. My mom's side was Methodist. And then, when I was about second grade, they began to attend an independent fundamental church. I wasn't Baptist, wasn't Bible, it was just Mount Calvary, all right? All right. Today, if it's a one name, usually those aren't always the greatest, but back then it was just Mount Calvary. Mount Calvary, I don't even know how they get Mount Calvary, all right? Great church, great Christian school, where we really grew in the Lord, and I've shared that testimony before in our family. But you know what? I was just your typical, good home, good family, good friends, good Christian school, camp, good news club, all the kind of good stuff, but I wasn't I wasn't gracious. I was selfish, proud, ungratitude. Not thankful in any way, complain about the school and the rules and church and my parents and strict and my, all that stuff. All right? Fake it a little bit when you go to church. All right? Depending on who you're around, just not thankful for anything. All right? And then, as you know, you're growing in the Lord, and God, you see some things, and God reveals things through preaching and teaching and gives you other chances. And then, hope, Lord willing, you're growing. You begin to realize how selfish and critical and rude you were, and ungratitude. And then God brings things into your life, right? And sometimes you have to lose some things to appreciate it, right? Unfortunately. You know, sometimes you break a leg and then you appreciate, wow, I never really appreciated two legs. Or I never appreciated good health. Or I never appreciated that person who died till they were gone, right? That's what we often say. We don't appreciate it till it's gone. We don't thank the Lord every day maybe for power, do we? Well, the power's gone. Whoa! I don't thank the Lord for air conditioning and heat until it's not there. Or the car until it's broken down, or the refrigerator, right? We oftentimes just, we're thankful for them. Then we might say them on occasion, but not truly until we don't have it anymore. You know, you lose your sight, you lose your hearing, you lose a great friend, you lose your job, things that you just took for granted. And then sometimes we learn to express gratitude. Yet gratitude should be an overflow from within. And by the way, gratitude ties in with the message this morning. Gratitude comes from generosity. God's been so good to me. God, I don't deserve salvation. I don't deserve forgiveness. I don't deserve 55 chances. I don't deserve God forgiving me for the same thing repeatedly over the years. I'm so inconsistent. I don't deserve those kind of things. God's been so good to me. And then as you begin to grow, you start looking back, don't you? Whoa, I didn't appreciate my upbringing. I didn't appreciate my church. I didn't appreciate my education. I didn't appreciate the people who played a part in my life. I didn't appreciate my Sunday school teacher years ago. I didn't appreciate the youth worker. I didn't appreciate that person who prayed for me. I didn't appreciate grandma. You know, a lot of times you start doing that as you're growing the Lord. I didn't appreciate the people who poured themselves into me. I just was ungracious and ungratitude and self-absorbed, and I didn't think about too many other people. And yet God has been working, and so you begin to express gratitude, and that can be in thankful form, that can be in giving generously with money, your possessions, meeting the needs of other people, your time, your labor. It can be by giving generously by words of encouragement and compliments and all those kind of things, not just in form of, I thank God for what he's done. But I don't know about you, but many times I find myself more like the chief butler. Remember that chief butler there in Genesis 40:23? Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. Now we read that story and we're like, what? I mean, you guys were like low, you know, you're in the prison just sulking, and Joseph, who's also in prison, comes over and is trying to encourage you guys, and you're moping around, and you share your dreams, and he says, well, I can interpret that. I know a God, and you interpret the dreams, and it all happens, and he even says to you, would you please remember me when you are released? Tell him there's a Hebrew in here that didn't do anything. I would, absolutely. But the chief butler forgot Joseph. Now you would say, what? I mean, why wouldn't you be like, how can you? Now you and I look at that and say, well, you know what? I forget sometimes, and you're right. Have you ever forgotten to thank somebody? Well, let's dig a little deeper on that one. How is it that we forget to thank someone? Now, I'm speaking to myself. Well, you know, we're busy. Life's busy. You just forget. You know, there's something done in passing. Okay, but that we're getting down to the root of it. Now, what's the difference between a person who has gratitude and a person who doesn't? That person takes the time to remember that. They appreciate it. It's not something fleeting. It may be something you have to work on, but you say, well, wait a minute. I mean, the chief butler should have been like, whoa, I'm so grateful. Hey, and by the way, he didn't just forget. He forgot for what? 2 years. I mean, 2 years went by. 2 years. Oh, my word. I remember my faults this day. There's a guy in there. I can't believe I forgot that. Now, if you're like me sometimes, I've done that. And you say to yourself, I don't think I ever said thank you to that person. I don't know if I ever, it's not that I wasn't thankful. In fact, at the time it happened, maybe someone sent you a gift. Maybe someone did something for you unexpected. Maybe the Lord, and you're just like, whoa. And many times you're like, I don't even know if I said thank you to the Lord. I can't believe I forgot that. And we've all done that, and we're human, and we're fleshly, and God understands that. But the question is not, do you and I forget occasionally? The question is there a pattern of gratitude? Which pattern best fits you? a pattern of gratitude or a pattern of forgetting? Or a pattern of just not doing it? Which pattern fits you? And then how did you get into that pattern? All right? Sometimes we're like the chief butler. Sometimes we're like the nine lepers in Luke 17, right? They come to the Lord. The Lord heals them. Go to the, right? And they all take off, and we can imagine that scene. And hey, let's be honest. If you and I were part of that 10, that's a classic scene. We're just pumped up and excited. We're so excited. We want to go see maybe our wife if we hadn't seen for years, or our kids or family. And, I mean, you just caught up in so excitement. You're just like, wow, or maybe I'm going to go do this, and then I'll go back and thank him. But the Bible says, as you know, only one returned, and he was a Samaritan. And the Lord specifically pointed him out, didn't he? Specifically said, where are the nine? Where are the other nine? Only one is returned. I'm paraphrasing loosely. Only one is returned to thank the Lord. And that gentleman who did that obviously got more than just physical healing. Salvation, if you read the whole story, I believe. Only one. What happened to the other nine? Now, you probably wouldn't say, well, they were just ungrateful, rude, mean, selfish people. You and I would say, well, that's like, I don't know, we just forgot. We just were so excited. We just enjoyed the blessing so much that we just didn't take the time to go thank the one who did it. And the one who did, the Lord specifically pointed out, only one returned to thank me and express gratitude. A lot of lessons there. I find myself often more in those two groups than in the one who does it regularly. See, use that phrase a little bit here, take for granted. Haven't we all said that? I've taken for granted. I took that person for granted. Or a lot of times you come back from a men's retreat, men's conference. Maybe they preach on your wife. And you come home and you're like, oh, honey, I love you. I took you for granted. All right? And then it's returned when the ladies go to the ladies' conference. So, you know, or I took you for granted. Or something you lose. So that phrase, take for granted. Failure to properly appreciate someone or something, especially as a result of over-familiarity, to value lightly. That's what the definition of take for granted. I value it lightly. You might have noticed it tied in with the quote, if you read the quotes that are in the bulletin by Vance Havner. The end of his quote today says, because we take God for granted, and what we take for granted we never take seriously. Right? That's true. If I take something for granted, I don't take it seriously. When I don't take something seriously, then it's not that important. Now, the things I value, I never take for granted. For instance, if any of you almost lost your life, you probably don't take for granted life. If any of you almost whatever, chances are you say, wow, I once you've gone through that, I have a greater appreciation. Again, I remember my dad. My dad got saved in his 30s. He said he was saved when he was younger, but it was more just religion or Lutheran church. And then started going to Mount Calvary, got in. Malin Fry, said this repeatedly, Malin Fry, Jim Fry's dad, taught an auditorium class and just the Bible basics. And dad started going to that in his 30s and then realized, well, I'm not saved. He learned more in that 1 year and he trusted the Lord. But even then, and I shared this at my dad's funeral, even then my dad really wasn't that serious about living for the Lord. Good guy, but business, traveling, you know, earning money, gone a lot, you know. And mom was the spiritual leader in the home. And devotions and getting into the church and those kind of things and making sure. So dad spent a lot of time with us, did a lot of things, but he just wasn't that serious. I wasn't that faithful. You know, if you said, hey, we're going to church tonight, you know, we look at mom, not dad. I don't know what it's like at your home. All right. You know, oh, what's mom going to say? Well, I don't know, dad. I don't know. And but then we went up for Christmas 1 year. We were back when we were living in North Carolina. And we used to, in the early days, try to go up every year to Christmas in Pennsylvania as well as see her parents. And Lauren was, maybe two or three. Jenna was a baby. And my dad was still pretty healthy in his 60s, 61, 62. Played a lot of basketball. So we went and played ball. Pick up basketball a couple days before Christmas at a church with some church guys and college-age guy. We were running up and down full court. And short story, many of you know, my dad collapsed. He was on my team. I thought he was joking around, but he ended up, we had to do CPR. Another man and I did CPR. Called my mom, and whoa. Well, you know, doctor said 3 minutes. 3 minutes, he'd have died. So he was in the hospital for a good while, a couple weeks, full recovery. I'll tell you something, though. That changed my dad. Wow. He came that close. And what he did, in fact, we went back home then, and then he sent a thing out to everybody, family, friends, relatives, his one sister who's still not saved, Kendall. He said, I want everybody to come. I'm having a special service at Harvest Bible in Lancaster. And he asked Pastor Lutz if he could have the service. I want to just share a testimony, give God the glory. I want everybody to come. Flew us up. We couldn't come. It flew us up. And everybody's there. And I mean, that service I have recorded, wow, my dad. I was like, whoa. That's not my dad. He doesn't talk that way. He doesn't do that kind of stuff. All right, what happened to him? He's like, whoa, he saw that he almost died and God spared his life. And boy, that really, and I'll tell you, the last 16 years of his life were vastly different than his first 61. Big time, all right? And he was a completely different, in fact, the man that all the grandkids knew was a lot different than the man most of us knew growing up. They got to see his last 16, 17 years, all right, where he was a spiritual leader, loved the Lord, faithful, wasn't really concerned so much about earning money and moving up the ladder. Right. Something happened, and he began to appreciate that God gave him another opportunity. Wow. Some of you have testimonies similar to that. All right. Sometimes God must do that to us to help us appreciate it. I remember, again, going on a mission trip. And I've been on many mission trips. Some of you have. And sometimes mission trips, they're not all, you know, deep in the jungle and just hard. You know, a lot of mission trips you take teens on. I mean, hey, we've gone to Canada Bible School, do VBS. Nice, just like America for the most part. All right. Go to different places. But the only one that was really rugged, rough, was the men's work team that I went with after I graduated from Pensacola. And we went to Jamaica, 1994. It was me and about 10 guys from Faith Bible there in Mount Joy. We had missionaries of McKnight's in Jamaica. And we were going to go as a work team. And that was, Jamaica is a tourist, obviously a hot spot, honeymoon place, but yeah, not where we were at, all right. Flew in, and then we get on this little rickety truck. Some of you have seen, we go an hour or two up into the mountains, and there's the McKnight's house. You know, and they got a little compound because in places like that, you got to have the big gate around there and spikes and glass. And there's where we're staying. And we're just there for 8 days. And we're building, you know, pouring concrete and doing some stuff. And I've shared some of that. And so I was the youngest guy, a lot of the other guys. And so Roger Greenwalt and I, we were the two youngest guys. We slept outside underneath the porch. That was it. Hot, humid. They didn't have hot water. All right, and they did not have, you took sailor showers, all right, you lather up, and then you just go underneath that little cold, barely, and just, freezing, and that was it, all right, it was a rugged week, and you're doing concrete by hand, and you're up there in the brush, sugarcane fields, there wasn't nothing, that was sort of a rugged week, all right, only time we did anything great was they took us in one night, one afternoon, we went down to one of the nice hotel restaurants right there on the beach, and we had a nice meal, and we swam, and that was one good thing we did, but it was a great trip. But I remember when we flew back into Baltimore. I remember Pastor John and a couple of the men, this is what a lot of people do. They get down, they kiss the... So glad to be back in America, all right? Give me a grocery store. Give me the cereal aisle. This is incredible. Woo, we're so thankful for what we have, you know? Give me a hot shower, all right? What do you mean? You mean, wow. Once you've experienced it, you're like, wow, I am so thankful for America, for our freedoms, for the church, for whatever it is. Many times, though, we have to lose something in order to appreciate it. I trust that's not the case with all of our lives, with our country, our freedoms, our health, our friends, our family, our spiritual blessings, the things God's given us. Many times we take those for granted. We don't even thank God for them. We just assume that that's happening and we deserve it. Yet the fact remains, though, is not, do you and I forget? Yes, we forget. Do we have a pattern? Is there a pattern of gratitude? I want to say this tonight as we get close to concluding. Anybody can change. There's probably folks in this room who were known for being completely selfish, proud, self-absorbed. It was all about you. Never thankful. Parents in here can probably remember some of their children praying for them. Oh, God, they're so proud and so vain and so self-absorbed. It's all about them. They're so spoiled. God, break them. God, help them to be gracious. And maybe, Lord willing, they change. Maybe you're still praying that. Maybe you're praying that for your grandchildren. Maybe you're still having to pray that for yourself. How do we have a pattern of gratitude? How do we develop that? Is that pattern of gratitude repeatedly and faithfully shown to the Lord? Do you show the Lord daily that you're gracious? You take the Lord for granted? You take the Lord's blessings for granted? You get upset at the Lord if you believe that what happened was not best for you. That's probably taking Him for granted. Do you go long periods of time before you're like, oh, you know, I haven't really thanked the Lord lately for anything? Or, wow, Lord, I prayed for this, You granted it, I never told You thank You. Do you take the Lord for granted? Do you take people for granted? Do you take many things? Fellow believers, your church family. What Bible phrase best matches you? Neither were thankful. Neither were thankful. If you were in a group, if you were at someone's house for Thanksgiving, he said, let's go around the room. You have to force something up. Is it fake? Is it just like a forced thank you? I can remember many times. I was this way, and I can remember many a teenager. They'd be like, skip me. Okay, come back again. I still can't think of anything. Really? But then I think we used to be that way, Boyer. It seems impossible. How could you not have anything to be thankful for? But when you don't practice gratitude and you don't think of anybody else, it's just not there. It's not, it's nothing to be thankful for. You don't think about that kind of stuff. And you can make a drastic change, though, when you begin to appreciate God's goodness, your salvation, where God brought you from, what He's done for you, how He's worked in your life, how He's faithful. Wow, when that happens, you're just going to be overflowing with gratitude. Now, we know that we don't just stay at a plateau, do we? Like, I arrived. No, we can very quickly go from a very gracious, thankful person. Boom. You can drive home tonight. Get in a car accident. Lose both your legs. You're in a wheelchair. I mean, it can happen. Not here to scare anybody. If that happened to me, would I still be gracious? Would I still be thankful? I might be known as a very thankful person. You might be known as very cheerful, very gracious, very thankful, but that can change any moment. Could lose your spouse. Could lose a child. Could lose your job. Could lose your health. And then all of a sudden, you might not be very gracious anymore. You might be grouchy, upset, angry. You might shake your fist at God. You might say, that's not fair. So let us not boast or brag. If we believe we are thankful. And yes, nothing would ever change that. So we conclude tonight. What if tonight you admitted or the Holy Spirit confirmed that you're not thankful? What if you just say, you know what, I'm not. I don't want to stay that way. I hope that's your attitude. Lord, I don't want to stay this way. Oh, I struggle with this. Maybe you say, Lord, I want to change, but I seem like the more I try to be thankful, the more grouchy I get. Or the more people I hurt. Or the more I forget, how do I change? Kind of just give you some application here as we finish. Number one, confess and forsake the sin of ingratitude. Call it what it is. Lord, I am a unthankful, self-absorbed, proud, selfish person. Now, maybe that's hard for you to talk like that. If it is, it could be that that's why you never change. You got to call it what God calls it. God, I am a very ungracious, like a Christian Scrooge, maybe. I don't give out compliments easily. I don't give out encouragement easily. I don't give out gratitude easily. It's mine. Maybe that's what you're known for. I hope not, if you're saved. A pretty sad way to be known. God, I know I'm that way. Confess it then. Lord, forgive me for being ungracious, unthankful, proud, selfish. Confess it and forsake it. Then you need to, and I need to begin to practice praise and gratitude daily. It's not enough just to confess it. Many of us are experts at this. We see the problem, we know the problem, we identify the problem, and we even go to God for the problem. But nothing ever changes. And that's just we just repeat that same pattern. Once a week, once a month, once a year. I know the problem, and we admit it. It's us. It's me, Lord. It's nobody else. It's me. But we never change because that's only part of it. I've got to confess it. I've got to forsake it. But then I've got to put on. I've got to put off, but I've got to put on. I've got to put on and begin to practice praise and gratitude daily. It has to be self-discipline. I've got to do it. I've got to, whatever, every day before I start off the day, 10 things I'm thankful for. 5 things I'm thankful for about God, my spouse. You're going to have a hard time if you're not a gratitude person. If we said right now, you're not leaving church tonight to write down 100 things you're thankful for, well, some people would just be all generic, you know. But for others, be like, wow, that's easy. Whew, that's so many things. Can I do more? Other people be like, oh, man, I'm only on 8. No, that doesn't mean you're a bad person. But it's just probably something you don't practice it. You don't really see anything. You look at everything through the lenses of ungratitude, or why did this happen, or there's nothing to thank the Lord for. Begin to practice praise and gratitude for God, for your spouse, for family, parents, siblings, whatever it is. Practice. Get in the habit. Include that in your prayer life. Prayer life is not just asking for God. Prayer life is communicating with God. Spend 5 minutes a day talking to the Lord, but in talking, don't ask for anything. Just thank Him. Praise the Lord. Just thank Him. Lord, go see if you can go 20 minutes of all praise. You'll be amazed. It'll take you a while. But then let your mind go back. Begin to be, oh my, I forgot about that science school teacher in third grade. Lord, thank you. I don't remember her name. Thank you. Oh, Lord, I forgot about that teacher that was so patient with me. Oh, I thank you for, you start thinking of all kinds of things. The Holy Spirit will prompt, oh, I'm so thankful for this. Or, God, you did that. I remember at camp. I remember that service here. God, I remember how you spared my life at this point. God, I remember, whoa. And start practicing praise on a regular basis. Prayer life. Do it at family time. Have the family altar. Have it with your spouse, your children. Go around and say, all right, it's praise time. Everybody share praise. Let's go around again. Praise. Who's something you're thankful for? Dad, start it off. Practice that. Share it in testimony. Maybe you say, I don't do testimonies. You know, or well, I don't want to be a fake. You know, the people that give one every single time. Huh. You know, you always have the people that roll their eyes. Oh, here they go again. I wonder what the Lord says. Isn't that all that matters? Isn't that all that matters, what the Lord thinks? I mean, I'm sure there are people that do it for the praise of people, but hey, I just want to thank the Lord. God's good. If you don't do that, why don't you do that? I mean, the Bible says, we can take you to 25 verses in Psalms that says, do it. Open your mouth. Praise the Lord. Maybe that's something you need to start working on. If there's a praise there, I need to express that and let the Lord know I'm grateful. Maybe on your social media, maybe you need to put some praises every day. I want to thank the Lord for this and be a little more vocal on that. Thanksgiving this week, why can't you take charge of it? Stand up and say, before we get ready to pray, I want to read a few verses here and share some things that God has shown me lately. Do that. Be a little more expressive with that. But that's not it. Then you need to memorize a couple verses. Don't just confess and forsake and admit it. You've got to begin practicing it regularly and daily, privately and outwardly. You also need to memorize 3 or 4 verses, some of the ones we mentioned tonight. I mean, you need to memorize them. I need to memorize them within a week. Put them on prayer cards. Put them in your car. Repeat them. Quote them. Say them. Know them. That way when you're ungracious and the Holy Spirit will remind you of those. He'll use the scripture you've memorized and remind you. Give you an opportunity to get those things right. And then fourth, and we're finished here, you need to get in the habit regularly, I hope, of writing thank you notes. Now, that's not the number one thing. You can write thank you notes all your life and be ungracious. It can be duty, habit, people make you. But you need to get in the habit of doing that. I don't just mean a little thank you note you buy. You're going to be amazed. The more gracious you are, you'll really start thinking back, like, you know, I don't know if I ever told those people that my counselor when I was in 8th grade, I don't think I ever told her or him how much you might say, that was 30 years ago. Well, you could probably still track them down. I know, but what? You don't think just writing them a note, writing them a little letter and say, hey, you may not even remember me or who I am, but I just wanted to let you know that you played a big part in my life years ago. I just want to say thank you. Oh, wow. Expressing gratitude. It could be a letter. It could be a note. It could be a text message. It could be an email. It could be a personal visit. It could be a gift. I don't know. But you need to get in the practice of doing those kind of things. Showing gratitude. Again, not just to the Lord, but for others, because God uses others, doesn't He? And God uses people. I think the 10 lepers were all thankful. In fact, they may have been running praising God. Well, thank you, Jehovah. But only one turned around and thanked the Lord, who was the earthly agent. Now we know He was God, the earthly agent that did that. So many of us, we are grateful to God. Lord, thank you, woo, for doing this. But was there anybody involved that helped that? Could you express your gratitude toward them? God wants us to do that. Hey, are you known for a pattern of gratitude? If you're not known for a pattern of gratitude, what are you known for? You want it to stay that way? Does the Lord want it to stay that way? Are you willing to work at it with the Lord's help? In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let's go ahead and stand. We're going to be dismissed in a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your love. Lord, every one of us, myself especially, Lord, needs to improve drastically in the area of gratitude. Oh, Lord, may we be a thankful people. Oh, Lord, may we not be known as one who is hard to get something positive or gracious or thankful out of. Lord, you are a generous God. May we be generous in our praise. May we be generous with our thankfulness. May we be generous in how we express our gratitude to you and even to others. Lord, help us not to be prone to forget, but Lord, to truly be grateful from the heart. Lord, you are a very generous and gracious God. Lord, we thank you for our country. We thank you for our freedoms. We thank you for those who came hundreds of years ago for spiritual freedom. Lord, we thank you for all that you've given us. May we truly be grateful. And Lord, if you've shown us tonight that this is an area that we must work on as a child of God, Lord, may we work on it diligently even tonight for your honor and glory. Lord, we're so grateful that you can change us and transform us, and we need not stay the same. We thank you and we praise you for your worthy in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Was there an announcement? So we're okay. So Barb, she's having a C-section? Okay. All right. Well, let's just mention that in prayer right now then. Lord, we pray for Barb. We're not sure if she may have delivered. They may be in the process of giving her a C-section. But Lord, we pray for safety and guide the hands of the nurses and doctors involved. Lord, it's our prayer, if it be your will, that you allow this little one to be delivered safely, healthy, Lord, as well as mom. Lord, we pray that you would give guidance and strength. We praise your name for life, the miracle of birth. And we pray, Lord, that you would have your way with the C-section and in the days that follow. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You are dismissed.